Today's Word of God is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Amen. In many fields, when a crisis comes, people often say, "Back to the basics." During the 2002 World Cup, many Koreans thought our team lacked skills and individual talent compared to foreign players. However, Coach Hiddink pointed out stamina as the real problem instead. As he built up the players' basic stamina, the players' actual performance completely changed. Everyone knew about it, but it was so basic that they were missing it. Knowing the basics like this is important. But if we don't know what the basics are, or what the original model we must return to is, problems will happen. There's a book called Christian Teaching, written by Pastor Yang Seung-hun. It is a book I highly recommend to church school teachers. And in that book, there is an illustration about the problems that happen when we don't know the basics and the original. A blacksmith received an order for 100 horseshoes, told his apprentice to make them, and went away on an urgent business trip for a few days. But when he came back, the shapes of the 100 horseshoes were all completely different. As it turned out, the apprentice looked at the original horseshoe given by the blacksmith to make the next one, and then looked at the newly made horseshoe to make the second one, and looked at the second one to make the third, completing all the way to the 100th horseshoe. In the end, as it went on, a horseshoe was made that had absolutely nothing to do with the original one. Isn't this just like our families today? We knew how to decorate a house, but we never learned how to build a family in Jesus Christ. And the children who grew up watching that family follow their parents' footsteps, building a horseshoes family that is different from the original. Churches too do not know the original model, so they lose their true identity as a church and get stained by the values of the world. So first, we must know the original model of family and church. Before it was corrupted by sin, we must know Eden, the purest kingdom of God established by him, so that we can know the kingdom of God we need to restore. As we look into today's scripture today, I would like to share the three images of Eden that we must restore in our families and churches. First, Eden is a land of mission. That Eden is a land of mission means it is a place called to fulfill God's will. In today's scripture, Adam is naming the living creatures that God created and brought to him. Naming them is never an easy task. He must clearly know the essence and characteristics of that creature and give it a name that fits. Also, naming something means sovereignty. God telling Adam to name the living creatures shows that he delegated his authority to Adam as a steward to care for and rule over his creation. This tells us that Adam did not just name the creatures, but by naming them, he formed a relationship and began to care for them. Then what should our families be like? Our families must also become a mission community. God's purpose in creating the family is to fulfill God's will. There is a unique feature in the wedding ceremonies officiated by the pastors of our church. At the very end of the wedding, the groom and the bride kneel down together and pray the Lord's Prayer. Many guests who do not go to church are shocked by this. Who do people usually think is the main character of a wedding? It's not a groom. Most of the people think it's the bride. But that bride, wearing a long dress, kneels down to pray the Lord's Prayer. What does this mean? It confesses and shows who the owner of this family is and who the head of this family is. If the head of the church is Jesus Christ, the head of the family is also Jesus Christ. The owner of the family is not the husband, the wife, or the children. It is only Jesus Christ. And we are called to build our families as a mission community that fulfills the will of Jesus Christ, our head. The same goes for the church. In Article 2 of Chapter 1 of our church bylaws, four purposes are listed, and the fourth purpose is as follows. Our church receives all authority from the 100th anniversary memorial foundation of Korean Christianity for the Yangwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Martyrs Memorial Hall of Korean Christianity to manage and operate them independently and makes them as a place of service and evangelism. This is well organized and recorded at the top of the inner page of the weekly bulletin. Our church is not a church for the pastor, nor it is a church for the members. It must be a church of the Lord. And the Lord has entrusted us with the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Martyrs Memorial Hall of Korean Christianity to serve the Korean church. Countless Christians who were running toward worldly values visit these two places and realize and restore the true essence of faith. These two holy sites are like a spiritual laundry site that washes away the worldly stains of the Korean church. I especially exhort our members who are entering the district vacation season. If there are members in your district who have not yet visited the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Martyrs Memorial Hall of Korean Christianity, please take time to introduce these two places of calling to them. And I exhort you to serve at least once at one of these two holy sites while living your faith journey in our church. There will be a grace where the stains of worldly values on our souls are washed away, and we take off our sandals of our desires. Second, Eden is a land of service. In today's scripture, Adam named countless living creatures. He tried to fulfill the mission of a steward given by God, but it must not have been easy to do it alone. So God looked at that and said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." This does not mean it's bad, but it shows that there is something better. It is giving him a helper suitable for him. looking at the etymological meaning and usage, the word for helper, which is ezer, is used, meaning help or aid. It is a word mainly used when God helps humans. So it does not mean a simple assistant or helper. It means co-worker. The word of suitable companion is neged, which means in front of or facing. In other words, it is the image of facing each other. This scripture tells us that man and woman face each other to fulfill the mission given by God as co-workers called to work together. That is why when we look at married couples, it is truly amazing to find many couples with completely different personalities. If there is a member who is too carefree and worrisome, and at that time their spouse is meticulous, if there is a member who has many worries and also a lot of anxiety, and when we look at their spouse is optimistic and helps them. They fill each other's empty parts with the strength they have, building of family as a perfect team. Therefore, married couples must remember two facts. If your spouse seems frustrating, it means you are called to fill their part. Instead, they make a harmony with each other's differences to become a perfect team. The husband and wife established next to you right now are God's custom ordered, one and only, perfect co-worker for you. Also, the same goes for the church. The church is also called as a community that serves one another. The church cannot fulfill its mission with just one or two star players. God allows us to carry out a mission by dividing the necessary talent, wealth, and energy among many people. Therefore, there is no one with the ability to handle all of God's work alone. And there is no one who cannot handle God's work because they lack. Therefore, I pray that all district volunteer teams and communities of our church will become co-workers who help one another in a serving community. District leaders and team leaders cannot handle everything. If you see any shortcomings, that is God's will for you to help and serve. In particular, pastors cannot lead the ministry by their own strength alone. I hope our beloved members and district leaders will lift up the hands of your parish pastors like Aaron and Hur, and co-worker together. When I was serving in the young adult parish, the ones I was most grateful for were the district leaders. Whenever we prepared for a retreat or an event, they always contacted me first and said, "We will take care of the snacks," or, "Is there anything we can help with you with?" And quietly shared the burden for me. Also saying they just thought of me while passing by, they would quietly leave coffee and bread for me as I was preparing the retreat sermon. Thanks to the helping hand and small encouragement of these district leaders, I could gain strength and handle the ministry that I was in charge. Since our church has many members, people might think someone else will help, or there's no need for me to step forward, and nobody might end up helping. If there's an event or a meeting in our parish or volunteer team, please step forward yourself, not waiting for others, and ask the pastors and team leaders, "Is there anything I can help with?" That single word can make our community into an even more beautiful community of service. Third and lastly, Eden is a land of union. God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep and made a woman from Adam's rib. This is a scene that shows Adam and Eve are essentially one body. And when he made the woman and brought her to Adam, Adam looked at the woman and confessed, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." It is a confession that you and I are one body. And then the first wedding and the declaration of marriage take place, where God is the parent of both families and the officiant. Verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Even though Adam had no parents at that time, telling him to leave his parents shows that this word was not given only to Adam, but it is a family principle given to all couples. Leaving parents does not mean building a wall against them. This means they must have an identity as an independent family. A ship must begin its journey, but if it doesn't pull up the anchor line at the port, what happens? It cannot even start the journey and gets tied up. So before marriage, we must practice letting our children become independent so they can stand on their own. Healthy independent men and women can form a healthy family. If they don't go through this process, what happens? The husband and wife should become one, but parents are stuck in between them. "Our son likes this, so make this side dish." Or, "Even when I was busy in this morning, I always prepared side dishes and soup." Or, "Take a picture of the breakfast table and send it." And many of the cases, it feels suffocating. Whether the family eats bread or skips breakfast, that newly started family should handle it on their own. And we must live our own lives. We should let them live before they ask us for help. That is the wisdom. Rather, you should pour that energy and love into your spouse, whom you haven't been able to care for while raising children, and fill your own life that you have neglected. Also, the two men, women, who newly started a family must take effort for union on their own. Verse 25 says, "Adam and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed." This means they were in a state without guilt or shame, because it was before sinning. But it also shows they achieved a perfect union with no shame and nothing to hide from each other. Like this, the marriage relationship must be transparent, united together. However, since we are descendants of Adam, who sinned after the fall, there are so many obstacles when we unite. There are many rough edges that are hard to accept, such as the spouse's stubbornness, pride, selfishness, and rudeness. So each other's thorns hurt one another. But if you are hurting and struggling so much because of your spouse, please remember one fact. As much as I'm hurting and struggling, my spouse is also struggling and hurting. Union is not as beautiful a word as you think. When two people meet, God makes them meet as a rough stone. To become a gem, the rough stone must be cut and cut again. Only then does it get a beautiful appearance. Sometimes I have to give up my hobbies, break my stubbornness, and lay down my pride, values, and thoughts. In this process, through healthy conversation and eye contact, we get to know each other, and we must unite with the standard of what fits God's word the most. That process is hard and also must be painful. But if you never give up, you can surely become one. It is not too late even now. Also, the same goes for the church. In particular, there are those who get hurt by one another during district meetings, because we all have rough edges toward each other. So sometimes we meet someone who really doesn't fit us. At that time, please remember this fact. That person is also a child of God, bought with the blood of Jesus. Also, in our church, there are many people who suffered hurts and pain from people in their previous churches. Because of that trauma, some closed the door of their heart, saying, "I will only attend worship now. I will not do community life." But through today's word, please understand the heart of God, our Father. When a child gets hurt by friends at school and locks the bedroom door, with what kind of heart would a parent wait for the child? They might close the door for a moment, but wouldn't the parent still hope that the child heals from the hurt, walks out of that door, and makes good friends again? Just as Joseph and his brothers, who used to snitch, envy, and attack each other, formed the kingdom of God in Egypt by protecting, defending, and caring for one another. Wouldn't you knock on the door of your district again, expecting that one day we will establish a community that understands, embraces, and cares for each other with God's love? Through slavery, Joseph could understand the hearts of his brothers, who were exhausted from labor, hard labor. And Judah, through the death of his two sons, could understand the pain of Jacob, who thought Joseph was dead. So he could choose to be confined instead of Benjamin. The person who hurt me back then, God will change them too. And he will firmly hold my weak heart as well. Before the second semester begins, wouldn't you take courage and contact your pastor, saying, "It's true that it's scary and trembling, but I will start the district meeting again." The book, The Little Prince, written by Saint-Exupéry, whom we know well, is a fairy tale for adults. The main character of this book, the little prince, lives on a very small asteroid. One day, on that asteroid, a seed that flew from far away sprouted and became a flower. The little prince fell in love with that flower. However, the flower had four thorns, coughed often, and demanded many things. She hated the wind, so when night came, she asked him to protect her with a screen, making things difficult for the little prince. Then one day, the little prince said goodbye to the flower and left his asteroid to begin a journey. And on Earth, the seventh place he visited, he was deeply shocked. It was because he discovered 5,000 flowers just like his own flower, blooming there. They were roses. He thought it was the only flower in the universe, existing only on his planet. But on Earth, more than 5,000 of those flowers were blooming. realizing that the flower he had cherished and cared for was no longer a special existence, he fell into deep sadness. Then he met a fox, and the fox taught the little prince about love, a love that becomes special not through a special existence, but through the specialness of a relationship, taming each other and forming a bond. Then the little prince came out of his sadness and said to the 5,000 roses, "You are beautiful, but you are empty. No one could die for you. Of course, an ordinary passerby would think my rose looks just like you. But to me, that one flower is more important than all of you combined. Because she is a rose I watered, because she is the rose I put under a glass globe, because she is the rose I shelter with a screen, because she is the rose for whom I killed the caterpillars. Because I listened to her complaint, her boasting, and sometimes even her silence. Because she is my rose." That's right. All of us are ordinary, but we are all special to someone. There are countless shining roses in the world, but the only flower that I watered, shielded from the wind, and came to bloom by my side is my current spouse and family. That is why they are a special existence. There are countless churches in the world, but this church is special because God sent us to the 100th anniversary memorial church to live our faith journey together. There are many districts, but the district given to us to share the word and break bread together, and the district leader and members who pray for me are special. So, though we sometimes hurt, bother, and pain each other, like a rose with four thorns, because it is the flower that bloomed on my asteroid, it becomes an irreplaceable special flower to me. This week, let us look at our spouses again in a special way and look at our family again. Even if they got sick because they couldn't take care of their own bodies while looking after the family, or even if their beautiful appearance from youth disappeared while giving birth to and raising children, even the wrinkles on their forehead and the white hair on their head are stories, memories, and beauty shared together. So please do not forget the preciousness of your spouse who shared your youth. And though church members sometimes hurt us with their thorns, let us remember they are our precious spiritual family who shared the word, broke bread, and prayed together, and let us forgive and embrace each other's flaws and sins. At that time, we will be able to restore Eden, the pure kingdom of God created by Him on this earth, the original model, in our families and churches. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in an age where families are broken and churches are shaking, we look back at the image of Eden that we must restore. May the families and churches on this earth restore Eden and once again establish the kingdom of God in the midst of this world. We especially pray that our families and churches will not make themselves the owner, but make only Jesus their Lord, becoming a mission community that fulfills His will. May we not criticize each other's shortcomings and weakness, but fill each other's empty spaces and become a serving community that helps one another. Also, in this age of division and taking sides, remembering that we are a church made one by the blood of Jesus Christ, let us become a community of union that binds up each other's pain. Even when there is pain caused by thorns that pierce us. Help us to love and patiently embrace our spouses and our families, whom you have allowed us as our precious single rose, making us generous people of the Lord. By doing so, grant us the grace to build our families and churches into a community that fulfills God's will like Eden. And as our church well cares for and introduces the two holy sites entrusted by God, may the Korean church together enjoy the grace of restoring Eden. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.